Have you ever thought about some of the best things in life that we do? Some of the best things in life are better when they're shared. Okay, I was not feeling very well yesterday. So after the men's breakfast, I went home and basically I passed out for the rest of the day until the Georgia game came on. And so Margie and I are sitting there on the couch. Well, I'm laying on the couch and Margie's sitting in the chair and we're watching the Georgia game and my heart's going like this. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? But can you imagine if all of us would have been together and watching that game, the hooping and the hollering, just to be able to share this emotion in this moment. A home-cooked meal where we get together with friends and we share it, or opportunity to see a beautiful sunset somewhere, and you want to describe it to somebody, but if they're there, you're all watching it together, and it's ooh and ah, and maybe even a Braves game. I don't know why you would go and watch a Braves game anymore for this season, but still, the opportunity to get together. They're all good on their own, but it's so much richer, and what a better experience when we're doing it with community and fellowship with one another. And that's the heartbeat of the book of Philippians. This is a letter that Paul is writing, and it's basically a thank you note to his friends in Philippi, and he's basically saying, you know, you guys have shared life with me. You've shared your faith with me. You've shared this mission with me. And he's writing this from prison, so you would think that he would be like, okay, guys, get me out of here. But he's not. Instead of being discouraged, Paul, in his letter, is overflowing with joy. It's not built on the circumstances, but it's built on Christ. Because Paul knows he's not alone. He has partners in the gospel. And even if he is in chains in Rome, then the church in Philippi is still free and partnering to get the good news of the gospel out. And so that's where we're going to begin our series. Joy in the journey. Joy in the journey. And joy doesn't come from comfort or circumstances or what makes us happy. Joy comes from knowing Christ and walking with him each and every day. Father, I pray today that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Paul begins his letter to the Philippians. I'm going to read the first 11 verses. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you are all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment or chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you with all affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. There are so many sermons in that short little passage, but I'm just going to focus on 3 points today, and the big idea is joy is going to grow as we partner together in God's mission. Joy will grow as we partner together in God's mission. Did you see what Paul is saying in there? Even though I'm doing all this stuff, we're together in this, and I thank God every day in my prayers for you because we are partners in this. We share the same vision. And so the first thing in verses 3-5, Paul begins by saying that it is gratitude for God's work in others. I am thankful that God is at work in others. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. Isn't that beautiful? How about our prayers when we pray, that we pray for the people in our church? I thank God every day for you. I thank God for so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And I thank God because we are partners in the same mission and on the same focus and on the same page. And we are all moving forward to advance the kingdom of God here in this place. When Paul thinks of the Philippians, gratitude rises up in his heart because he knows that even if he doesn't get to see them again, or if he does get to see them again, he still knows that they are brothers and sisters in Christ and they're all working together. The word partnership in here is the word koinonia. And the word koinonia is, you know, one of those Greek words that simply means more than just one word. It's fellowship. It's sharing. It's doing life together. Paul didn't consider the people in Philippi as acquaintances. You know how somebody sometimes will say, oh, yeah, I got a buddy that does this. Like, you may have a golf buddy, or you may have a fishing buddy, or you may have a buddy. I don't know, whatever. But you have these buddies, but do you have these partners? Do you have these dear friends doing life together? Paul didn't have just acquaintances. He had teammates. He had fellow laborers. He counted these people as important. It reminds me of a relay race. I remember watching the United States in the Summer Olympics. Was it the Olympics this year? Anyway, there was like a young... The what now? Okay, well, there was some time that there was a young guy running on the American team. So the way a relay race runs is you got these four runners. You usually have a strong first guy that kind of sets a good pace. Then the second guy, you can kind of have a weak guy. Third guy, you don't want him, you want him a little stronger than the second guy, but that fourth guy, you want someone that could kick it to another level. And so the United States, the first guy went out like the United States does, boom, boom, boom. He's kind of leading the pack, hands it to the second guy. He's this young guy, first Olympic or first track and field or whatever I was watching. Anyway, he's running and everybody's like passing him. I mean, he's just like, whoa, what's going on? It's like, man, come on. You're from America. You should kick it up, you know. And so the third guy gets it, and we're behind. And so he's starting to catch back up, but still hadn't caught all the way up until it gets to that fourth guy. And when that fourth guy gets it, man, he takes off like the wind. And I don't even know if we won or not. But the point is that they worked together. And that's what gospel partnership looks like. Paul started strong with the baton. He started the church. But then the Philippians picked the baton up from there and ran the race. They continued in prayer and in financial support and in encouragement. And what can we do to bring about the gospel to these people? So who comes to your mind when you think of a gospel partnership? Who has encouraged you in your faith? Who has urged you, exhorted you to continue even when you felt like giving up or leaving? Who prayed with you or worked with you and came along beside you? I would ask that sometime this week, when in your prayer time, that you stop and you give thanks for them because of the partnership you had in the gospel. God's work in others. Another point is there is confidence that we have in the ongoing work of Christ. Paul says this, one of the most hopeful verses in the Bible. He says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. What great news. God is not finished with you yet. God isn't finished with me yet. Right when I think I'm finally in it, now, God, I'm doing exactly what you tell me to, I end up doing something stupid, something selfish, and the next thing I know, I'm on my knees going, God, I messed up, I screwed up. To know that God isn't finished with me yet. He is still shaping and refining and polishing and making me more Christ-like. One of our questions in our Sunday school question today was, if you were the only Bible, what is the gospel people would see? If you were the only gospel and they looked at your whole life, what kind of gospel message would you be given? And man, you talk about a checkup from the neck up, a gut check kind of thing. It was, I'm more like Peter in the gospel. You know, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do stuff, But sometimes it's the wrong stuff. And Jesus has to say, get behind me, Satan. You know, I want to be the guy that cuts the ear off of the guy that comes to arrest Jesus. And Paul is saying, no, we need to be more like Jesus. We need to be more like Jesus. He doesn't place his confidence in the Philippians' willpower. He's not saying that you can do this on your own. He places it in God's faithfulness. Being confident of this, he who began a good work in you, that's not your good works that you were doing in your own strength. It's what God has put in you. And he will carry it on to completion until Jesus Christ comes back. It's going to keep going and keep going and keep going. God started the work of salvation in their hearts, and he's going to finish it. And the word completion here, it points to an idea of a process. It's like construction. It's like building something. And that's what God is doing. God is building something in each of us. For some of us, for me, sometimes all I see is the scaffolding. You know, I see the mess that comes with us. And I see the dust and I see all this other stuff. But what God sees, he sees that finished temple. He knows where we are going to end up, and he is going to see us through until it is complete. Have you ever driven past a house that, you know, you're thinking, oh, they're doing some remodeling? And then you drive past it again a couple weeks later, and it's like, oh, they're still doing remodeling. And then you drive past again, and there's a blue tarp on the roof, and you're going like, they're still doing remodeling. I was reminded of this in Poland. When I went and visited Mirek, and he took me out on the countryside, and they have what they call Poland A and Poland B. Poland A is places like Warsaw and Krakow and Bielska Biała, which you can't tell the difference between that and Atlanta or New York City. It's big bustling centers and things like that. But Poland B is poor. It's the farm and agriculture, and it's these areas where you go out and you may see a house that looks like, okay, it looks like they started building something, but you don't know what they're building. And so I asked Mirek about it. He goes, oh, well, you get a little bit of money and you build what you can, then you stop. And then you make a little bit more money, and then you put it on and you keep going. So there's this building that is going on and on. And so as I'm driving by, I see this unfinished, like, well, no one can live there. What are they doing? But what the person that's building it, even though it's taking stages and it's at different times, they have seen the completion and what it's going to look like. I, you know, wonder, will it ever get finished? But Paul is saying God never leaves his projects half finished. He's going to see it through to completion. He completes what he starts. Maybe for some of you, and at times even for me, I feel so unfinished. I feel I'm frustrated with my growth, or I get stuck in my prayer life, or I get stuck in focusing on what's not happening as opposed to what is happening. And God is saying, take heart. That I am still at work in you. I'm still at work in the church. I am still at work in your family. I am still at work in your life. He hasn't quit. He won't quit. And so he is saying, you don't quit. I'm not finished with you yet. And the third thing is he prays. There's a prayer for growth in love and discernment. Paul shares his prayer. He says, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. He prays for a love that isn't shallow or sentimental. It's like a puppy love, you know, when your eyes get like this. He's not praying for that at all. He wants a wise love, a discerning love, a spirit-filled love and a spirit-filled life. Why? So that they can approve what is excellent, to be pure, to be blameless, to be holy, and to be filled with the Spirit of righteousness. In other words, so that they can look more and more like Jesus. Think of a tree. When we think of a tree, sometimes if it's healthy, it keeps sending It keeps growing. The roots keep going down deeper and deeper. It provides fruit season after season. And we look at the tree and we say, man, that's a great tree. And Paul's prayer for the Philippians and us would be that love would be growing, that our roots would be deep, that we would bear much fruit, and that it would be visible to the world. And what would it look like if at Three Point Bible Church, right now, right here, we started and prayed for each other that way? Hey, I'm praying for you because I know you're going through a hard time and a hard season right now, and I want God to move for you. I know you don't always feel like it, but God is still in your life. Imagine families that are growing together. Imagine our small groups, not small groups anymore, because people are just want to hear more of God's word and to be with one another and to hang out with one another and to do life with one another, encouraging one another, not just for the fun of it, but because we want each other to grow closer to God. What would our church look like? Encouragement. A congregation that is known in the community for joy and generosity. And that is the fruit that Paul is longing for with his friends in Philippi. Paul's joy wasn't tied to his prison cell. It was tied to partnership in the gospel. Our joy here, you can't say, I want Paul or Sandra, or Jason, or Edwin, or Howard, or Steve, or the elders, or Roger, or Donald. It's not just on them, it's on us. And we all partner together. All of the body is important. The toes, the fingers, the hands, the feet, the eyes, the ears, the nose. We need all of it. Some of you are so gifted, so much more gifted than me in areas, and we need you. I want to encourage you, because here's the truth of the gospel. If you don't get anything else out of today, out of this section, this is the Christian life is not a solo sport. We were never meant to do life on our own. We were never meant to share the gospel on our own. When Jesus sent them out, he sent them out in twos, in threes, in fours, in twelves, and he just sent them out. You know, they talked about maybe the woman at the well as being one of the first missionaries when Jesus came and talked to her, and she went out and she ended up bringing everybody else. But when Jesus is sharing with them, imagine how that just spreads and multiplies from there. I would say that the demoniac at the Gerasenes, when he comes and he's naked and he's up thrashing around, and Jesus casts all the demons into the pigs and they go off of the cliff, and he goes, I want to go with you. And Jesus says, no, go back to your home. Go back and share what God has done there. Become a missionary there. And can you imagine now, here's this guy and they're looking at it and how it just spreads from there. It's not a solo sport. It's a community. We need each other, and we are partners in the gospel. So this week, thank God for the people who invested in your faith. When you say your prayers, pray for those people that have meant something in your life, that have maybe encouraged you, that pointed you to the gospel, but that maybe showed up in a season in your life when you were about to give up on everything. And they just showed up. Maybe they didn't even say anything. Maybe they just showed up and brought a meal. Or they just showed up and didn't say a word and just sat there with you. Thank God for them. Thank God for community. A community like Three Point Bible Church or wherever you're worshiping, that you commit to praying over others and pray for your church family. And we pray for each other and we pray with each other. And what is our mission? Our mission is to take one step this week to encourage somebody else in their walk with Christ. If you are the only gospel, if you are the only Bible that the world sees, what does that look like? How does Christ come through you? I've given you some ideas for some tools. Take one of the devotion books. If nothing else, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Take a book and say, hey, I just wanted to share this with you. You know, maybe it'll give you some, you know, each day, like a little devotion. You wouldn't believe the seed that you plant, what a difference it would make. Invite somebody to church. I remember one of our very first sermons, when we went to, I think it was Mount Zion at the time. It might have been Arnold. But one of the sermons that we did, I asked Sandra, we went out and bought a bunch of poker chips. And we put these little labels on it that said, all in. Because if you know anything about poker, sometimes when you're playing and it gets late and you're ready to go or you got a great hand, they'll stand up, they'll push all their chips and say, I am all in. Well, are you all in for the gospel? Are you all in? Are you invested for building God's kingdom here in this place? Because that's what we are called to do. And that's where our joy comes from. Not because we hear horrible things that are going on in the world today. Things are going to get worse. The Bible says things are going to get worse before Jesus comes back. And so maybe we're just seeing the beginning of it. And we see all this evil that is going on. And we hear all these horrible stories and things. But we could still have joy because of we know who the joy giver is. And so I invite you to be a part of that. Father, we just pause and say thank you. We thank you for the gift of fellowship, the gift of one another as we come together and share with each other and do life together. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just open up all of us and help us to receive your spirit of love and the spirit that you have for everybody else. The spirit of love and redemption that you have, and that you want us to be that point of light to shine that into a world that may not even believe that. A world that might believe that there is no hope, that this is the way things are supposed to be. And Father, we do not believe that. We hold on to the fact that you are who you say you are, and you will see us through to completion. And Father, we look forward to that day, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.